Well, Thelma Adams is an established figure in the entertainment industry for two decades. She has penned celebrity figure features and film criticism for high-profile publications. She joins us to discuss the 90th Academy Awards, which will take place this Sunday. Her greatest title is that of an Oscarologist. She has served in that role for a very long time, and certainly on this program. She is a founding participant in the preeminent awards site GoldDerby.com, and it's a thrill to have her with us this morning. Thank you very much for being here. It would not be an Oscar year without you coming and, and talking about this. It's one of the highlights of my year. How are you?
With that introduction, I am very fine.
Good.
What a pleasure. And we get to do it without putting on awful outfits and shoes that are uncomfortable.
Well,
this
yes.
is perfect.
Probably more so for you than me, but yes, you're absolutely
yes.
right. Wow. You know, for those who don't, I have this little thing that I've done for the last several years, and it's I'm not, you know, I just do this because I want to, but I make it a point to see every movie that is nominated in every category.
Bless you.
59 movies, 24 categories, and I'm here to tell you that with the exception of one, which I will watch, I've had some family stuff going on that has taken me away from the only one that I left for last is War for the Planet of the Apes. Other than that,
War for the Planet of the Apes. I watched that. I'm trying to think of why I watched that for some trying to see everything. Oh, I did a piece about Woody Harrelson, who is in every movie this year, and he is the bad guy. He does kind of a Heart of Darkness thing.
So between now and Sunday, obviously, I will watch War for the Planet of the Apes. But with that exception, and I'm assuming that we probably won't spend a lot of time when it comes to that category of
visual.
Right. Yes. But there's a lot of other stuff to talk about. And with that, I've seen everything. And so let's just begin. What do you think? Was it a good year?
Yeah, I think it was a good year. It's a confusing year, but it was a good year. There's a lot of good movies on this list. And for a lot of different, you know, different audiences. Call Me by Your Name, Darkest Hour, which is usually the kind of crusty BBC biopic that I love. In this case, not so much. Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards. It's also like all over the map in some ways.
A little bit for everybody.
A little bit for everybody.
Now, there are, nine films that are
right.
nominated
mm-hmm.
for Best Picture. You just named them. There was only one on that list that I actively disliked, which was Phantom Thread. And
you go.
Okay.
You throw down on that.
Did you like that film?
You know, it's funny because Jennifer Lawrence said something this week. She said, "I watched 3 minutes and then I turned it off." And I watched it, and at about 3 minutes, I think that was the moment, but I could be wrong, where Daniel Day-Lewis's diva tells his latest muse to stop buttering her toast so loud, which is like a moment that I completely loved. And then the whole first hour is like a really creepy thing about grooming.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I gotta watch it. It looks great. Daniel Day-Lewis, as ever, fantastic. But it was really creepy and out of tune with the moment.
Out of tune with the moment, and also, and I agree with you on the creepy, but also just very self-indulgent, don't you think?
Self-indulgent. I think Paul Thomas Anderson has that tendency,
and that
the director Paul Thomas Anderson, who did get a nomination, and that his fans worship him to such an extent that, God forbid, you say, oh, he's being self-indulgent. I think he's not really... It's very mannered.
Now, let me posit a theory with you and see how you react to it. Shape of Water seems mm-hmm. to me to be the film that you would check off all the boxes of what you would want in a film that would win the Academy Award. It is a beautiful film. It is an artistic film. It honors the tradition of Hollywood past, and yet it is unlike anything you have ever seen, at least that I had seen
right.
before. It is beautifully acted. Uh-huh. It is beautifully shot. And while weird, it is also, I think, very accessible. And while right. it may not be my absolute cup of tea, if I had to vote for something on the merits of cinema, I think that would be the film.
Huh. Yeah. I'm one of those people who saw it. I love Sally Hawkins.
Yeah.
Loved her in Maudie, which you guys can watch. I think it's on Netflix it's available, and it's fantastic. There's a lot that I loved about it. I thought from a story perspective, there was a lot that was extraneous. Like, I really wanted to know more about the Beauty and Sea Beast relationship. That's the core of the story. And then there's all of this other stuff kind of going along that looks good. The Richard Jenkins neighbor, the Michael Shannon villain. And I felt like those things, while they may have been interesting, took away from that what is really happening between the custodian and the beast. I wanted more custodian beast action.
I can understand that. I can understand that perfectly. Now, if there's a movie that I love and I'm cheering, well, I don't know. That's hard for me to say that. So what did you like?
Ultimately,
if you had to vote.
You know, voting for my best picture of this group, I would say Three Billboards.
Right. And I agree with you because, first of all, Frances McDormand, good God. Extraordinary. Sam Rockwell, good God.
Woody Harrelson,
yeah.
Good God.
Yeah.
John Hawkes, good God.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
The
Game of Thrones gentleman.
Dinklage.
Dinklage. Fantastic. The range of these
yeah.
people. The colors of them. The kids. The daughter and the son. The mother of Sam Rockwell. There's all this stuff going on, and I gotta say, I am a dialogue junkie.
Yeah,
I just am. And the dialogue in that movie was so good and so searing. And I will say one other thing, because there are a lot of people who critique it for this, which is fine. I never expect everybody to agree with me. It's not intended to be a documentary.
No.
It's a fiction film about a fictional place and a fictional conflict. It's not Marshall.
Right. So then there are sort of the other films,
Many other.
Mm-hmm. Many other films. But which ones do you think are worth talking about? To me, it would be Call Me By Your Name and maybe Get Out, but...
Yeah, and to me, it would be more... And people love Call Me By Your Name. It would be more Get Out and Lady Bird.
I was struck.
I'm happy to discuss if you didn't like Lady Bird or if you're on the fence.
I liked Lady mm-hmm. Bird a lot, actually. I thought the Laurie Metcalf performance was great. I thought the Saoirse Ronan performance was great. I like Greta Gerwig. I thought that film was very fun. I enjoyed it.
Right. Made me weep. Made me do all, you know, I saw it in Toronto. I had just sent my daughter to freshman year at Ithaca College. We are so upstate, right?
Yeah.
Ithaca, you know, and I had taken her and I had not cried because, as in Lady Bird, you're so happy to get those teenage girls out of the house and launched. So I was really touched by it. And yet, even I will say, Oscar film?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, okay.
I mean, and I really love it, but I'm thinking first-time director, I don't know. And I'm so female director forward, so I feel guilty saying this.
Is there a film here that you just would say, oh, why did you nominate that?
The Post.
The Post, yeah, that seems to
I
be
I think
the
Post
consensus.
Is like, you know, cardboard Spielberg.
I agree with you.
And I think, you know, the idea that he is now going to redo West Side Story, he's lost. He's lost that, whatever it is, and that's okay. He's been doing this for a long time. But this is, you know, yeah, it's, you can cast anybody. You can get the best cinematographer, etc. But you have to have a gut that's on fire.
And there was a strange thing about that story is that it's about the Washington Post that actually didn't break the Pentagon paper story. It was the Times. And it, so it's an odd setup for a film anyway. But
it's not compelling.
And like you with women directors, I'm all for the good journalistic film. And yet, all right, maybe not so much. But
where Spotlight really was
absolutely
an amazing newspaper movie.
And just because I'm curious about it, because the standard wisdom here is when you're talking about films for Oscar time, it's the films that come out later that have the better shot. And yet, in this new world that we're in with technology, mm-hmm. and you can watch anything at any time, Get Out is a film that came out, I think, the same week as last year's Oscars, and yet
right.
here we are
mm-hmm.
talking about it.
And it was at Sundance a year ago, January.
Yeah.
So what it's symptomatic of is a year-round Oscar season that begins at Sundance, jumps to maybe Berlin, and then those films hit the next year for Oscars. So Get Out, I would say. Get Out's a fantastic film.
Yes.
I love that film. Interesting. Jordan Peele has been working in television for a long time. Smart director, smart script, great casting, wonderful story. Again, it raises the question of, is this kind of genre film an Oscar film? And there are people in the Academy who would say no.
Mm. Then the film that came out over the summer was Dunkirk, and a Christopher
right.
Nolan film, beautiful film, and a very enjoyable film, and also with us. But I think we expected that, right? I think even when it came out, we were like, oh, well, this will be on.
I think that it was seen all the way from the summer to maybe Toronto, maybe till September, October, maybe even November. It was seen as the front runner. Chris Nolan was seen as not only the best director frontrunner, but as a sense that he was overdue.
Oscarologist Thelma Adams is with us. We're going to move on from Best Picture, but just before, if there's a film to upset Three Billboards, you believe it would be?
Shape of Water.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so actress in a leading role. Certainly the person who has won all of the contest up until now is Frances McDormand. I don't see any reason for that to change. Do you?
No. I mean, also Fran does not like to lobby.
Yeah.
And here she is at the top.
Yeah.
She just is a force of nature in this. I will say again that I love Sally Hawkins. And she's maybe second. Let's see, best actress, if there's someone else that may. You know, everybody's good. Meryl, yeah, right. Meryl.
It's just enough, under contract. You have to nominate her.
Enough already. But, I mean, Sally Hawkins, fantastic. And was fantastic in Maudie, I think even better. She had more to do. She carried the movie. Margot Robbie, like, whoa, and I, Tonya, which obviously you've seen every movie. Didn't that movie, I shrieked in the middle. It made me so surprised.
It did, and we'll get into supporting actor and supporting actress, rather,
right.
and talk about the amazing Allison Janney in that role. But Margot Robbie was also in this Goodbye, Christopher Robin.
Right.
Did you
uh-huh.
see that?
No, I did not see that.
And she's in that, and she's such a miserable, horrible character that you think it makes Tonya Harding seem like somebody you'd want to bring to the prom.
Like a dream,
yeah. Yeah. So we'll go with Frances McDormand, actor in a leading role. Here's the thing I will tell you, Thelma. This is what I was so excited about that you were coming in, because I was looking on Gold Derby. I was looking at your things.
At my predictions.
And now I'm eating this stuff for breakfast, all of this Oscar talk. And you are one of the few people. So most people see this as a contest between Gary Oldman, who played Churchill in Darkest Hour,
right.
and Timothée Chalamet of Call Me by Your Name.
Right.
Most people believing then, as previous contests have
right.
shown, that Gary Oldman will win. On your list, Timothée Chalamet comes in fourth. I found that fascinating. Why is that the case?
I just think it's too early.
He's too damn young.
He's too damn young.
Yeah.
I mean,
in Lady Bird, by the way.
Lady Bird completely. And he's someone that was plucked from, I believe, the High School of Performing Arts.
Yeah.
By Greta Gerwig to play the part in Lady Bird, if I'm not mistaken. And I just feel like it's best actor. A little bit more. Not that he wasn't fantastic. It's already going to completely mess with his head that has this much attention.
You're worried about the effect on him.
I just don't. I think he's too young. I think he's the ingenue.
Okay. But it was a great performance.
There's no question that he is a fantastic actor.
And even though you had concerns about Darkest Hour, Gary Oldman?
Yeah, I find it fusty. I love The Crown, you know? Give me John Lithgow.
I felt the same way, although when I saw this performance, I thought, man, I'm in. I love this.
I love the performance, but the rest of it was kind of like dusty to me. Not my husband. We watched it together. He really liked it. I think it needed a Peter Morgan script, excuse me. And also, I felt like the female characters were like his typist. Here, there's nothing, you know. And for me, I get a little, yeah, maybe that was true, but it was a little bit like, I don't know, just like.
This sort of goes back to Best Picture, but when you think of filling a role of a crusty British film, if there was one to be nominated, I would almost prefer it to be Victoria Abdul.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Although I've got to say, even for an Oscarologist, I am so addicted to Queen Victoria, to Victoria on TV, to The Crown on TV.
Yeah.
I just feel like I can't get enough of it, and the character development is so much more complicated.
Yeah.
Of everybody involved.
And I know this is cliche to say, but I could watch Judi Dench eat soup.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, actress in, so I think we went over actress, we went over actor.
We need supporting. Which do you want to do first?
Actress in supporting role, we have Mary J. Blige in Mudbound, Allison Janney in I, Tonya, Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird, Wesley Manville in Phantom Thread, and Octavia Spencer in The Shape of Water. If you remove Wesley Manville and Octavia Spencer from that category, and maybe even Mary J. Blige, although I thought her performance was
fantastic,
beautiful and fantastic. It would be between Allison Janney and Laurie Metcalf. Again, Allison Janney has won everything up until now.
But never an Oscar.
And my goodness, but Laurie Metcalf's role is incredible. But Allison Janney, both women coming out of both theater and television, but primarily television, mm-hmm. known for their television roles, coming into film, and my goodness, talk about playing against type. That Allison Janney character,
oh my
is
God.
Insanely good.
I just think from the moment she steps on or just takes the screen, I guess the camera finds her and she has that bird on her shoulder,
yeah.
And you're like, what is she? I don't know. It just was from another planet. And I think that there could be an upset here. Lady Bird should be getting some award. And Laurie Metcalf certainly is in that position. I would say that after I saw Lady Bird, the one thing I would have liked a little bit more of was to see a little bit more color in the Laurie Metcalf character as written, not as performed.
That's kind of an
obscure point.
Well, the thing about the Allison Janney performance is that she is such a despicable character, and yet I would love to spend time with her.
You know, as long as she didn't have any utensils.
No,
nearby.
I just thought, my God, this is good. Okay, then for actor, Sam Rockwell, Christopher Plummer, Richard Jenkins, Woody Harrelson, and Willem Dafoe. To me, this is a very difficult category. I think you could make a case. Sam Rockwell had won the Golden Globe, won the SAG, and certainly seems as though he's the front runner in the Oscars.
Yeah, he does seem like he's the front runner. But what do you think makes it more wiggly, let's just say?
Well, you know what? Willem Dafoe in The Florida Project, I love that movie. I thought it was Well, I hated it in the sense of that it's so true, and it's very disturbing film, I think. One of the reviews that I read, I thought, nailed it absolutely, which is this is a film you never want to see again, but you're very grateful you got to see it the right. first time.
Right.
And I liked him. I'm not a big Willem Dafoe fan,
right.
so the fact that he turned me in that, I thought was very effective.
And I think that I read somewhere that someone said, he really is playing a real person here. He really seems like a guy who runs a motel at the edge of the world near Disney World.
Right.
You really get that feeling. And I do think that the Academy is split on the movie and the fact that it didn't get any presence anywhere else, The Florida Project. It was a critic's favorite. And I believe the New York Film Critics gave it Best Director. I think that that's what makes him soggy. You know, he may come out. He is a contender there. And I also love again that Woody Harrelson got a nomination. I mean, they love him. They really love him.
Yes.
You know?
And Richard Jenkins, the character I loved, but
I thought that character was extraneous to the real story for me.
Yes, but the acting was, I mean, he is a good actor.
Yes. He is always a good actor. As, you know, as Sarah LaDuke said, where is Michael Stuhlbarg? He should be here.
Well, absolutely.
And he is not.
Yes. And Christopher Plummer, that story is interesting in that he'd be the oldest actor ever
right.
to win. And also that he went in and reshot these scenes. But I don't know.
The movie. I mean, yes, it had the problem of having Kevin Spacey in that role, and it has it's a historical footnote movie.
To me, it had the problem of having Mark Wahlberg in it, but that's another story.
Oh my God, who next? What are we gonna? We're not even gonna go towards the Ryan Seacrest.
Well,
what
no,
we
but he annoyed me in the movie. I don't know. It was aside from the baggage. There's that. Let me go to two categories that I found really interesting this time around, and I'll just be curious as to what you think. Mm-hmm. Documentary feature
is that one. I also felt like there were so many documentary features that got lost.
Yeah,
like Jane
was great,
you know. But I think it's an open one. I think Faces Places looks very strong, and Icarus looks very strong.
Icarus surprised me because I thought it would be deadly boring, and all of a sudden, at the beginning, it seems a little self-indulgent, and then when the turn comes of this is not a movie about a guy doing sort of a Morgan Spurlock kind of, I'm
right.
going to drug myself and see how I do better, and we're going to do this as part of a documentary, and then it becomes, oh, by the way, I'm going to bring down the entire Russian Olympic team. It's really fascinating and quite gripping, and it just turns amazingly and is really quite a film.
And that's the thing about documentary is that it's exploratory. The idea that it's not like a script where you basically once you have the script you know what the story's about. In a documentary, you make the documentary to find the script.
Faces and Places I thought was beautiful. It's a film about artists, and it's a very artistic film.
Right.
And I enjoyed it. But I have to say the one that made me maddest was Abacus, because it's small enough to jail that you have this tiny little bank in Chinatown that is the only bank that faces charges in the mortgage crisis
right.
of 2008. All these big banks get away with murder, and this little tiny bank run by Chinese immigrants is taken to the cleaners.
Yeah.
And ultimately vindicated. But
I do feel like that resonates, you know, just listening on the way here to the roundtable, how mad we are that people who would have, like our pal Jared, who would have been arrested for things that he's done, and it's almost like, you don't cheat on your taxes over $200, and then these people are cheating on their taxes for billions and millions. It does make you upset.
Then foreign language film, Fantastic Woman, The Insult, Loveless, Body and Soul, and The Square. Loveless was the most
depressing
film I've ever. I just that was lacking any empathy. It was just, it was
no light. There
oh
was
my
no
God, no
light
there
at the
at
end
all.
Of the tunnel.
No.
Fantastic Woman seems pretty clearly to be headed to for the win.
Which is, yes.
Which is good. The square I saw, and I loved the director's previous one, Force Majeure. I thought it was fantastic. And I feel a little bit like he rushed his next movie. I felt like there were great things in the square. There were amazing moments, but the whole did not fit together. And I don't really understand how it got this far.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Body and Soul is sort of the typical art house movie that you would expect to be in a foreign
right.
language film. There's a lot of like whistling tea kettles and staring and so forth, right? I mean, it's just, it's a lot
laugh.
Of, it's
yeah,
just, you know,
right.
Eh.
Right.
But, and The Insult I found to be a fascinating character film and study, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Fantastic Woman was, it was really it's beautiful and it had something to say.
Right. Head and shoulders above.
Do you want to talk about animated feature? Is there anything there that
animated
you liked?
Animated feature, who cares? I mean,
okay.
You know what? I think I saw too many animated features when the kids were young, and I'm a little jaded.
Did you like Loving Vincent?
Yeah, I did like Loving
okay,
Vincent.
Okay, so do you think that should win?
I think it should win. It's not going to. It's going to be Coco, 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 Coco.
Okay.
And song along with it.
Okay. I don't disagree with you on that.
Screenplay?
Yeah. Original and adapted. Which one do you want to go for first?
You know, if we did original, here's this moment where we're like, who, this is, the original screenplay often is what is it called? The consolation prize.
Right.
The consolation prize.
So if
and
you...
so in that case, I think Get Out is going to win. All of those scripts are good, except I would say, and here, scream at me all you want, The Big Sick needed to be tweaked, needed to be cut.
I think it needed one more writer.
It needed one more writer. And it also had Judd Apatow kind of leaning over the writers. He produced it. And if you look at his serious movies, they always have like 4.5 acts. They're always kind of lumpy. And this had... an Apatow lumpiness to it.
Although I must say I enjoyed the film.
Oh, the film. Yeah, I enjoyed the
rather
film.
Delightful.
I enjoyed the characters. Lord knows, I understand that feeling of being around the table with mom when she doesn't approve of your partner. You know, I get that.
Adapted screenplay. Why did Logan get nominated?
Because it's actually a James Mangold, he's a really good screenwriter-director,
oh,
you
yeah.
know? So, yeah, I think that people really felt that it was... that it was good. I think this is going to be James Ivory. Call Me by Your Name is going to
sure.
be. You can throw some things out. You can throw out The Disaster Artist. You can throw out Logan, I think. I think the script for me for Mudbound was phenomenal. The use of multiple viewpoints. But I'm not so sure that people seeing it on the small screen got the full feel.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that. And I'm an Aaron Sorkin fan. I thought it was really good.
Good.
I thought Molly's Game was good. But again, it didn't show up anywhere else. So you, as you said, it's kind of soggy
right.
as part of its approval. We have maybe about 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm wondering, are there any categories that you would like to mention of things that you think are noteworthy that we're missing here?
We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
What I would say when you're looking at Dunkirk now and film editing, a couple of movies that are kind of made glancing appearances here are Baby Driver, which was a hugely enjoyable, well-made movie. Film editing, it might have gotten a couple of other things.
When I have to say, the thing sound design, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I was seeing that film and I made notes, as I often do, one of the notes I made on that film was that I thought that the idea that he had this tinnitus and that there was that sound throughout the film, I thought that was really interesting. So if you put that into, if it won in that category, I think it would be very fitting. I want to talk about an animated short film that I saw that I just thought was delightful. It's sad, but it's delightful. I don't know if you saw it. Negative Space. Did you see
Tell me about that one.
This is the one where the guy is packing a suitcase. It's all about him packing a suitcase.
Okay.
And there,
well, that's what a short should be,
and it's,
right?
It's just a little. It's got a. It's, it has a little punchline, a joke to it, and it's dark. And I loved it. I just thought it was just the cutest thing. It's sad and it's dark, but I thought it was really neat.
Well, that's good. And then that person, having been nominated for an Oscar, now has a huge amount of opportunities.
You hope so.
You hope so.
Yeah, you hope so. So in our final moment,
in our wrap,
what do you expect out of the ceremony itself? Jimmy Kimmel has said it's, you know, you can't not talk about the elephants in the
room.
There
are so many elephants, and that's really ultimately the question. This year is such a conflict between, oh, it's just the movies and making political statements. And Kimmel kind of, you know, Kimmel still has to answer for the end of last year and the big mistake of La La Land, Moonlight, that last moment. What is he going to make of that? I find Kimmel to be okay. I hope it's not too statement-y. And I think, honestly, people have so much choice in terms of content.
Right.
And the ability just to look online and see who won and who didn't. That I think there's going to be a lot of DVRing and, you know, switching channels. And, you know, it's not the event
not
that it
us.
Was. Not us. No. Oh, God, no. I have to write an article the thing ends at midnight, one hopes. And by one, I have to turn in my Magna Carta.
We're out of time. Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure.
It's always great. I love talking movies with you.